Okay, before I open us up in prayer, I just want to mention, especially for many of you you're here for the first time, there may or may not be a book right in front of you in one of the pews. There's a few up here. There's a few back there on the table. When we go through this particular message, we're going to be using this book as a resource. I'll be reading two or three paragraphs or so, probably from this chapter one. And so if you want to follow along, number one, during the sermon, that'd be great. And number two, even if you're not coming back next week, take one of these books with you, okay? This book titled How to Develop a Powerful Prayer Life will make a difference in your life if you take it and practice what they're teaching you. That's assuming you want to have a powerful prayer life. So pray with me and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your holy son, Jesus. We thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, giving us a hope, not just for eternity, not just for the day when we transition from this life to the next, but there is hope in you today that we are adopted into your family. As John was saying earlier, we are brought into your family. We are your children, and that we come to you as our children. Ask, just as a father would provide for the needs for his children, you provide our needs. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, as we reflect on this truth on prayer today, I pray that each one of us are stirred and motivated, Lord, to become the people of prayer that you want each one of us to be. And Lord, I pray for the one or two or more that don't know you, that they, as they hear this truth and it penetrates their hearts, they will understand how much you love them and that there's nothing they can do to earn that. It's a gift from you. And I pray that they would desire to get their relationship with you right. Please bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we hear this truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as I said, we're doing a sermon series based on this particular book. This book is written by Dr. Gregory R. Frizzle. And here are some of the highlights we covered last week in the introduction, just to share. Prayer is the heart and soul of every successful relationship with God. No one's relationship with Christ will ever rise above his level of prayer or praying. And we covered 8 God-ordained results as a result of a biblical prayer life. Of these 8 results, here's a few of them. Your relationship with him will become much more real and personal. You will experience ever-deepening holiness and life-transforming discipleship. Your ability to clearly hear God's voice will rise dramatically. We heard a testimony from Jamie about God speaking to her. The spiritual power of your life and ministry will increase as well, and we heard a testimony from Matt about that last week. And you will experience a far greater power to withstand trials and temptations and spiritual attacks. And we heard a testimony from Ann last week. If you were here, it was a great opportunity to hear how prayer is impacting the lives of people right here in our church. And until you are totally convinced of the importance of a lifestyle of prayer and that prayer is your relationship with God, you are not likely to take the necessary steps to achieve this biblical prayer life that God desires for you. So this week we're going to be in chapter 1. It's titled Understanding the Three Foundations of a Biblical Prayer Life. First paragraph in chapter 1, it reads this: if you are to experience a powerful prayer life, you must first establish a solid prayer foundation. Any builder knows that a structure is never stronger than its foundation. No building can stand long without a strong foundation. And the same truth applies to developing a prayer life. In order to build a consistent biblical prayer life, you must approach it from the right foundation. Without a strong prayer foundation, your relationship with Christ will be weak and inconsistent. You and I need a strong foundation for our relationship with Christ and for our prayer life. This is a biblical principle, and we all know it's true, not just in the world of construction where we lay the foundation for a building, but in every other facet of your life. Laying the right foundation is right. It is biblical. Otherwise, they would not have made a song about it, right? You guys know what the song is? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man, hang on, I did this three times. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rain came tumbling. Come on. Is that a dare? Because only if it's a dare. Okay. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and... Okay, that's enough. All right. But what did Jesus mean when he said that we should build our house upon the rock? He taught us that we will obtain this by listening to his teaching, listening and following. In Matthew chapter 7, this is what Jesus said, starting in verse 24 and 27. Anyone, that's all of you, who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the wind beats against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So, are you a wise person? What is your prayer life built on? Well, what does Christ teach us about prayer? I guess that's the best foundation to start, right? If you're going to be wise, you have to hear the teaching, and then you have to follow it. So you can answer the question for yourself. This is what Jesus says about prayer. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. But when you pray, go away, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jesus said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the field. And the last one that I'll mention, there are more. But when you are praying, first, forgive anyone who is holding a grudge against you, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So, how are you doing following Christ's teaching on prayer? You know what? You can Google search this for yourself. You can go to Bible Gateway yourself, type the word prayer, New Testament, and just read through every single verse about prayer and just ask yourself, my goodness, how am I doing? Read this verse, how am I doing? Read this verse, how am I doing? You know what? If you are a wise person, you're building your life and your prayer life on a rock, you're going to obey what Christ said. Now, doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but nothing worthwhile is easy in the first place. God has a great deal to teach us about prayer and his word. Is your faith and relationship with Christ built on listening and following these instructions? Listen, none of us want to start asking ourselves these questions in the midst of a storm or trial. I'm trying to think Cheryl just gave a great example last night at small group. Cheryl said, having a fireplace is great. It's wonderful. You know, there's so much work collecting the wood, but the wrong time to go collect the wood is when you need it. When there's 3 feet of snow is the wrong time to go out and get the wood, right? Okay. The same thing I was thinking about myself. I was sharing with some friends this last weekend. Andrea had asked me, well, how long did you live in Lovington, in our house, etc.? And I was trying to calculate when our house burned down. So I'm thinking about the house burning down, and I remembered when our house burnt down. We moved to Mweekwa with our aunt and uncle for a couple weeks. And I remember the very first night we were there, we're eating dinner or something. My dad comes home from work to my uncle's house, and he is red hot, angry. He's flying off the handle. Turns out that my mom had not paid the homeowner's insurance. You do not want to discover your homeowner insurance is not paid after a fire, right? Okay? You don't want to discover that you really, really need Jesus Christ desperately in the midst of your trial, whether it's the news that you've got cancer or something desperate is going with one of your children. You do not want to discover how much you need your prayer life and that strong foundation when it's too late, when it's after the fact. Now, by the grace of God, he's going to hear and respond because of his mercy, but it is too late. We want to build and have a right foundation before we need it, before the storms and the trials come. The same thing with the person who built their house in the sand. You know, that's great. They probably a really elaborate, nice house, thought this is a great place to build. When the storms come, it's utterly destroyed. And the same thing happens to us when we don't have a solid foundation for our prayer life. In order to have a solid foundation for our prayer life, we have to understand three foundations the author talks about, starting in page 13. Understanding the three foundations of powerful prayer life, he says, in this chapter, we'll examine three foundations absolutely essential to powerful prayer and life-changing discipleship. These foundations are not only vital for prayer, but they are crucial to your whole walk with Christ. Remember, when we are speaking about your prayer life, we're not talking about an activity or a discipline. We're talking about the very heart of your relationship to Christ. So before we study these three foundations, I want to take a minute and pause and ask you to pray along with me and say, Lord, where am I in my prayer life? How is my understanding of these foundations? Ask with a seeking heart and say, God, reveal to me what I need to do. So I'm going to pray now before I move on. Heavenly Father, speak to every one of us right now. I ask that your Holy Spirit would reveal whatever it is in our lives that's hindering our relationship with you, hindering our prayer lives. Lord, whether it's sin, whether it's a lack of priorities, whatever it might be, if there's some misunderstanding or if there's a lack of desire. I know that hits all of us at times, Lord. Give us a desire to know you more. Give us a desire to have a biblical prayer life. Give us a desire, Lord, fill us with your spirit, with a longing for you. And I pray as we read, as we study, as we think about this truth, that we all desire what you desire for us. Please lead us now in Jesus' name. How are you doing? I'm praying that God is revealing that to you. The first foundation of the powerful prayer life that he talks about is this. You must view your daily prayer time as a relationship with God and not some legalistic duty or discipline. Doesn't that kill your desire for prayer when you feel like it's an obligation? From God's perspective, prayer is the expression of that which he desires most, your personal relationship of love, surrender, and trust. It's amazing that we put so much emphasis on serving and working for God when above all, he wants our heartfelt personal love. If you say you are too busy to spend serious time in daily prayer, you have missed the whole point of your relationship and service to God. God wants you, and only then does he want your service. Did you hear that? God wants you, and only then does he want your service. It is a love relationship that he desires above all else, and above serving and tithing, everything else that you can name, he wants you. The second foundation of a powerful prayer life is you must make an absolute commitment to consistently spend significant time alone with God in uninterrupted prayer. That phrase is a mouthful, so I'm going to break it down, okay? There are three phrases in this second foundation that are crucial to your prayer life. An absolute commitment, significant time, and uninterrupted prayer. Do you guys know the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? You've heard that before, haven't you? This is why you need an absolute, concrete commitment on your calendar. Your good intentions will not result in a meaningful prayer life. Now, how many of you have fully intended, sincerely and fully have intended to lose weight or to save money or to clean the house or clean the garage? Whatever it is, you name it. You rarely follow through on your good intentions because all of us naturally disobey rules. We disobey budgets. We disobey diets. We, even if we created them ourselves, we are disobedient by nature. You must specifically carve out time on your calendar each day when you'll spend time in prayer and in God's word. If you don't put it on the calendar and share your commitment with somebody else who's going to pray for you and encourage you, it's not going to last. You and I will get busy and we'll make excuses. And after all the excuses are gone, then we'll just say, it's just too hard, Mel. It's just too hard. I was last week at small groups, and then last night we were talking about, and this was mentioned a few times, we're talking about who in your life modeled prayer. Like, who did you see praying? Would you see your parents praying? You know, who taught you to pray? And the fact of the matter is very few people grew up seeing their parents pray or seeing their friends pray or praying much themselves other than, you know, maybe saying prayer before a meal or some kind of form prayer. The fact is, hardly anybody is modeling it and teaching it. Anyway, we make excuses. We feel like it's too hard because we haven't seen other people do it. In reality, we really haven't tried that hard, or we haven't tried our best. Your prayer life is worth planning for, and your prayer life is worth protecting. Protecting. Now, I'm not gonna say this, but okay, I'm gonna share something with you quickly. I know I probably shouldn't. I'm gonna do it anyway. Listen, many of you know, or maybe some of you do know or don't know, but the mornings, early in the morning, is the best time for me. I get up early in the morning, spend time alone with God in prayer, and I hate distractions. I hate anything disrupting my prayer time or my time. And we've got a dog who's 14 years old or something like that. He has become spoiled. And when I get up in the morning, I mean, I'm maybe 50. I'm in a clear to the other side of the house. He can hear me. He starts whimpering and crawling in his cage. It drives me crazy. Anyway, this has really become a serious distraction. So the other morning I got up, I put him on his leash. I took him outside and I tied him to a tree. So what's funny is it had been raining and it was mud everywhere. Then I brought him back in the house, which I got in trouble for. Anyway, this conversation was happening, it was, why don't you just, I mean, before the words could come out of my lovely, gracious wife's mouth, why don't you take him out before you start? I said, I am not doing that. That dog is not going to be a distraction to me. I'll leave the house. I'm not going to address that dog. And I guess I probably didn't say it all as nice as I should have. Confession time. But here's the thing, is in my heart, what welled up in me was, no, I am not going to allow this dog to distract me from something vitally important, eternally important, my time with God. Now, I didn't respond all that well, granted, and forgive me for mentioning this, really, but listen, it's little wonder that Satan... My dog's name's Pippin, not Satan. It's little wonder that Satan will do anything to keep you from praying consistently. He will also fight to keep you from deepening your prayer life. He will also fight you if he can't keep you from praying, then he will try to keep you from praying effectively. If your commitment to prayer is not absolute, Satan will certainly pressure you until it's out of your daily practice. He will cause you to settle. You know what it's like to settle, right? He will cause you to settle for a shallow and ineffective prayer life. Satan's ploy is to get you so busy with all the good things in life that you do not make time for the best. The next phrase in this foundation is significant time. Now, this right here can be tricky, and this is a problem for me. It's possible that you could spend 2 hours alone with God, trying your best to stay focused in prayer, trying to read and study, and just finding it difficult. Maybe it's sin you're not dealing with, or maybe it's some distraction at work, or whatever the case might be, or with your kids. You're just distracted. It can be tricky. You feel like nothing is working, even though I've spent 2 hours. And then there are times when you get 20 minutes alone with God and it seems like you're basking in the very presence of God where the glory is shown. You radiate with Him. And it was 20 minutes. The amount of time is going to vary in your prayer life depending upon your schedule and your life. Everyone's a little different. But it's vital that you not look at the amount of time legalistically. And this is where I fall into a trap myself. In my mind, I imagine all the great spiritual leaders from the past, which are my favorite people to read about, and autobiographies and the things that they teach. This guy spent 2 hours in prayer. This guy got so busy in life, he devoted 3 hours a morning in prayer. I mean, I have this standard in my mind that this is the way godly men live their life. And it can be a legalistic thing, and it can become a burden and a discouragement when you feel like you're just not there or you don't have the time for some reason. Anyway, even though I don't want anyone here to fall in the trap of being legalistic, it is important to set a goal, to have a mark, to set a standard. This is what I aspire to. The author of this book suggests an hour, and which is a very good goal. I would suggest 30 minutes. If you think about your day, I would be willing to bet that every single person in this room wastes at least 30 minutes every day. I mean, just think about your favorite TV show or the time you spend on Facebook or social media or whatever the case might be. I would bet money, good money, that all of us waste 30 minutes a day. So why don't you give God 30 minutes? You can do that. Give God 30 minutes. The third phrase in this foundation is uninterrupted prayer. The only way that you're going to get uninterrupted time is if you are willing to find a solitary place. If you are going to try to get your quiet time laying in bed next to your spouse, that is not uninterrupted solitary space and time for you to be alone with God, for Him to speak to your heart. You're going to be concerned about what the other person is thinking. Instead of praying to God, you might be praying to the other person. You need to get alone with God. Solitude. You need to be willing to turn off your phone, get off the computer, and set aside every other possible distraction. You will never get uninterrupted time. You know what this is like. For myself, I used to go down into my office in the basement, and that worked great for probably 6 or 8 months. And then all of a sudden, we had a foreign exchange student in the house, and that office became my bedroom, her bedroom, that's right. Yes, that's right. That's her bedroom. See how easily you get distracted? Tell you. The office became her bedroom, and I had to adjust. I went to another part of the basement. That didn't work well because there was basically a thin wall between us, and I was conscientious of my praying out loud, my reading out loud that would wake her up. I finally started to spend time just sitting in my car. Anyway, here's the bottom line is, you have got to find a place, solitary place, privately, where you can be alone without distraction and without the possibility of distraction. If you're willing to do that and give God 30 minutes, I believe that this will grow and you will have a greater hunger and desire for God. The third foundation that he goes over is a powerful prayer life requires the balanced practice of all the different types of prayer. And he lists 5: praise and thanksgiving and worship, confession and repentance, petition and supplication, which is God, supply my needs, meet my needs for yourself, and intercession, where you are praying for other people, and meditation, listening, prayer, and reflection. If you consistently neglect any of these 5 types of prayer, your relationship with God will be limited, but do not despair. You can understand and experience all the types of prayer in your relationship with God, and In the next chapter, we'll see how. Now, you don't have to wait till next Sunday to learn. You can take that book home with you and dig into it, read it, think about it, and figure out how to apply it to your life. I know for a fact, either later today or tomorrow, at some point this week, everyone in this room is going to forget everything I said, except for my wife. She probably won't forget what I said about the dog and all that. Anyway, you guys are going to forget what I said. And the reality is, that's why I bought this book, because it is so important. You know, that you don't just hear me right now on a Sunday morning, but you take what this author has to say about developing a powerful prayer life and start to apply these principles for yourself. I'm not up here just to hear myself speak. I want you guys to be wise, to build your life and your faith, your prayer life, on the solid foundation that he is establishing here, to listen to Jesus' teaching and to follow it. Okay. I want to close with this illustration. It's in the book. It's on page 22, if you want to remember where it's at. Okay. It's a parable of the football coach that this guy shares. Listen. In our story, a huge high school student walked up to the football coach and told him that he wanted to play football. The coach was thrilled and said, "Son, I'm so glad you want to play. We sure need a player of your size." Then the coach told the young man to be at practice the following day and assured him that he would get a chance to play on the team. For the next 3 days, the coach anxiously watched for the young man, but he never showed up for practice. About a week later, the student again came up to the coach and said, "Coach, I sure love football. I really want to be on the team." The coach said, "I'm glad to hear that, but you never came to practice. Son, we really need you on our team. But if you want to play ball, you must come to practice." The man assured the coach and said he would be at the practice the next day. A whole week passed, yet the boy never attended a single practice. Later, the young man saw the coach walking at a distance, and he yelled for the coach to wait up for him so he could talk to him. But rather than stopping, the coach just kept walking. The young man ran to the coach, got right in front of him, and started to give him the all too familiar speech. As the boy proclaimed his desire to play, the coach suddenly interrupted him and spoke the following words: "No, son, you really do not want to play football. I told you in order to play, you must come to practice. The truth is, you would rather do other things than pay the price to be on this team. When you say you want to play, yet you won't come to practice, you are really just kidding yourself. Now excuse me while I go and coach the boys who are waiting at practice. You see, son, they do want to play football. So how about you? Do you want to play, or do you just say you want to play? Take this book, read it, think about it, and apply it. Prove that you want to play. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth that this author has shared with us about prayer. It has been such an encouragement to me, and I know I've heard other people share the same things. Lord, I pray that it continues not only to motivate us and give us a desire, but Lord, give us some specific steps and directions each and every day that we can take to grow in this prayer. Lord, I pray first of all that each one of us who feels like there is no way I can make time, I'm too busy, I pray that you would convict them, you would reveal to them in their heart where they are squandering time that they could be giving to you. And it might mean sacrifices, Lord. It might mean going to bed earlier and getting up earlier. But Lord, the sacrifice is worth it. I know that, and I know they know it as well, as long as they will be honest with themselves. Lord, please speak to us through this message. Draw us close to you. Help us to develop this powerful prayer life that you desire. And help us, Lord, within our home, within our church, within our school, in our community, in our workplace, and everywhere we go, Lord, to be the light that you have called us to be. Help us to be mindful and prayerful and close to you. We trust you. Lord, bring glory to your Son as we grow in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.